Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide episodes 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, while baseball is not being played. Eventually, when things get back to normal, the plan is to go back to 5 days a week, every single weekday for this show. But with things being very atypical right now in the sport, we're doing 3 days a week, and we're also doing themed content, which I think is really fun because it gives us a little bit of structure and an opportunity to revisit some really fun topics. So the last couple of weeks were about the best season in franchise history. We went into great detail about the 2010 San Francisco Giants from pretty much every possible angle. So this week is going to be about the best moments from 2019. And there's a number of different ways we can get into this topic. We're going to talk about the best games of the year. We're going to talk about the best storylines of the year. And actually, it's not always going to be about best. We can also talk about the worst moments of the year. So that will all be coming up this week. And there are other possibilities to be mixed in as well that you're not going to want to miss. So hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already, and you can get this show 3 days a week, every single week, even when baseball's not being played. So anyway, coming up on today's show, I do just want to generally look back and look at what were the best storylines that emerged for the Giants in 2019. And I think it was a very interesting year. And sometimes when I'm like reading MLB trade rumors or something and I see what people are writing in the comments, that there's like one line of thinking where people seem to think that the Giants are on some linear downward trajectory and that things are still just negative after the continuation of the bad baseball in 2017, what happened in 2018. They just kind of think of 2019 as a continuation of that. But to me, that's people who weren't really paying attention to the 2018 offseason and then the 2019 season. Things were extremely different. They are not on the same road that 2017 and 18 team was on. They have very much, in my opinion, turned the corner, not to say that they're ready to contend and win, but they're very much on the upward trajectory now. I think the bottom has been reached. And that doesn't necessarily mean they won't lose more games like if we had a normal season in 2020. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't lose more games because they actually had kind of a successful 2019 season in terms of wins and losses. If we're being realistic, they won 77 games. So anyway, I just want to look back on, you know, starting in the offseason when Farhan Zaidi was hired, and then looking into the season and kind of just the key takeaways from 2019 for me, because it wasn't necessarily about the individual games. If you're covering the Nationals or something, this whole week is going to be about that playoff run and the best moments from the postseason and who were the heroes and what were the moments that mattered the most. But for a team like the Giants, it's more like what were the positives we can take away from a general perspective and not about the individual games themselves necessarily. And there were a lot of them. So it's easy to forget that we're seriously basically still in year one under Farhan Zaidi. And so when the season got underway after an offseason in which the Giants pursued Bryce Harper, didn't get him, and then they ended up like making some very low risk, low reward type signings like Gerardo Parra and Yonhir Vigilante. I think on the pitching end, there was some more upside in guys like Drew Pomeranz, who ended up, you know, that's one of the best moments of the year is that Pomeranz trade. And we'll talk about the trading deadline. But it started out poorly from a gut reaction standpoint by most of the fan base. When the opening day lineup had a couple of unknowns in it who were just acquired in the last few days before the season started, and they struggled in their first, you know, 10 or so plate appearances, which is just a crazy small sample. But what's notable here is that just days after the start of the season, the Giants and Farhan Zaidi pulled off a trade. And so this is theme number one from the best moments of 2019, the best storylines of 2019, is the way Farhan Zaidi and the Giants were able to win so many of the trades that they made. And of course, some of these trades, you need more time to decide like who won the trade. But to get Kevin Pillar for Alan Hansen, Derek Law, and Juan DePaula. DePaula was eligible for the Rule 5 draft, and nobody took him, by the way, because he's young and not ready to be on a major league team. But DePaula struggled with the Blue Jays, as did Derek Law, as did Alan Hansen. And if you have been following the Giants, you know that Derek Law and Alan Hansen were not key members of this team in the future. In fact, they were completely dispensable. And, you know, Giants fans grew to absolutely love and appreciate Kevin Pillar as a baseball player and as a person. And so that's just one of numerous trades that worked out very well for the Giants under Farhan Zaidi. And the fact that they didn't bring back Pillar, a lot of people were outraged about that. But I don't quite understand how you can be outraged that the guy who brought in the guy that you love decided that that player wasn't even good enough. And so you should be more excited about what players are going to be good enough if someone that you absolutely loved didn't even make the cut. And so Mike Yastrzemski, I mean, this is part of the point about trades, but he's also a story in and of himself. So Yastrzemski was acquired during spring training, I believe, for Tyler Erb in a trade with the Baltimore Orioles, who were like the worst team in baseball, definitely could have used a Mike Yastrzemski. And that team is being run by another smart individual in Mike Elias, from coming over from the Houston Astros, hired around the same time as Farhan Zaidi. So Zaidi essentially fleeced a really smart executive from another team here by acquiring Yastrzemski. And Yastrzemski's emergence we'll talk about that more in the second half. To me, that was like the best storyline of the entire season. But it doesn't end there with the trades. We also had the Giants acquiring Alex Dickerson from the Padres for Franklin Van Gerp. And Dickerson just went on to be a huge part of the run that the Giants went on in the second half of the season, and specifically in July. They, of course, it wasn't really a second half run. They fell apart in August and September, but in June and July, they just were playing some of the best baseball they've played in years. It's easy to forget. They didn't play good baseball really in 2017 or 2018. So we hadn't seen like a really hot month. It's not like you just get that every year and it can be, and it's just a total fluke. But even if you're really bad, you're going to have a great month. No, they hadn't had a great month like they had in July since 2016. And so the trades that the Giants made, Pillar, Dickerson, Yastrzemski, and others, which we'll get to in a minute, had everything to do with that. And they found some talent without really giving up much of anything at all. So that started to emerge as a storyline for me. And if you weren't paying close attention to the season, you might have missed these moves, I guess. But some people have the opinion that the Giants and Farhan Zaidi are just making a bunch of moves, and some of them are bound to work. So the ones that don't work prove that he doesn't actually know what he's doing and they're just getting lucky. But that's not true at all. If you follow baseball closely, I mean, it is not that common for a team to just uncover a Mike Yastrzemski, a Trevor Gott, and Alex Dickerson. I know Dickerson has a track record, but what Dickerson did for the Giants when he was on the field was incredible, and they gave up pretty much nothing to get him. It's not that common for these moves to be so successful in the short term. It was starting to really clearly look like Farhan Zaidi knew what he was doing, and these minor moves could pay massive dividends potentially. And I had known this about him from his time with the Dodgers. I mean, the Dodgers have a track record of doing this. He was a hugely valued member of that front office. He was the general manager of that team that was a consistent winner and the cream of the crop in all of baseball. And so to bring that over to the Giants, we started to see some of those trends with the Giants in the first half of 2019. Postmates has been a lifesaver during this pandemic and the resulting stay-at-home orders. If you're like me, you probably start thinking about what to eat for dinner while you're eating lunch. I love food, and that's why I love using Postmates. But I kind of love them even more right now because I can get food delivered without leaving the house. or even opening the door. Given what's going on in the world, they created non-contact deliveries. So now when I order from local restaurants, everything gets left right outside my door. They also have Postmates Pickup, which I have been using to order takeout from my local restaurants. Listen up. You guys need to be supporting your neighborhood spots right now. I've been ordering only local because it's a great way to support my community. And Postmates doesn't just deliver burgers and sushi. They actually make life easier by picking up everything I need from Walgreens and 7-Eleven and dropping it outside my door. Just the other day, needed some medication. Someone from Postmates was able to pick it up from CVS and bring it to my house within like 20 or 30 minutes. It was just incredible. So thankful to the workers who are out there doing this job right now for Postmates and doing a great job. Download Postmates on iOS or Android, find your favorites, and get everything you want delivered within the hour. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use code LOCKEDON. That's code LOCKEDON for $100 of free delivery credit in your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, coming up in the second half of the show, I want to continue to talk about the best storylines of 2019. I'm kind of just telling the story of 2019, but to me, 2019 was a really good year for the San Francisco Giants. I keep seeing like in some places that it wasn't, and I don't know what people expected. I mean, coming off of the 2017 and 18 seasons, the roster that Farhan Zaidi inherited, not just the major league roster, but the lack of any kind of minor league depth, was a disastrous roster to inherit. They definitely needed a massive overhaul. And in just 1 year, they dramatically kind of improved their organizational depth and direction, in my opinion. And a large part of it had to do with the maneuvering that Farhan Zaidi was able to do at the 2019 trading deadline. So this is kind of a controversial topic, but to me it was a lose-lose because the Giants at the trading deadline were actually like right around 500 and only, I think, 2 games out of a wild card spot. And so people now in hindsight want to say that they definitely should have traded Madison Bumgarner, they definitely should have traded Will Smith, and that it was really poor foresight by Farhan Zaidi to try to win in 2019. But I think that's a lose-lose because let's say they did trade Madison Bumgarner and they did trade Will Smith and then the team falls apart and loses, people would look back on the 2019 season and say Farhan Zaidi ruined the chances, the legitimate chances that the Giants had in 2019 of making the postseason. And they would have a point about that. They had a legitimate chance. It wasn't a great chance, but roughly 1 in 10. And he stuck to his word, which was that entering the season, the goal was to play meaningful baseball as deep into the season as possible. And so to just rip out the rug from underneath a semi-contending team there at the deadline would have been going against his word. And it probably wasn't the right thing to do, given that they actually had a chance. So those chances, those moments when you actually are contending for a postseason berth are valuable. And so it makes sense that he held on to two of his better players who were on expiring contracts. I also think people don't quite recognize how little value I think Madison Bumgarner would have had in a trade as a rental. Keep in mind the contract he ended up signing in the offseason as a free agent was roughly the Jeff Samardzija contract that the Giants gave to Samardzija. So it's not like this is Max Scherzer and Clayton Kershaw that we're talking about here. We're talking about, you know, a league average type starter in terms of what the market is valuing him as. And so the return for 2 months of a roughly league average starter is not remotely what people think it is when they think about Madison Bumgarner. And so not only would it have hurt the clubhouse, hurt the fan base to give up on that 2019 season by trading these guys, but the return, we don't know what it would have been. And so let's say he does trade them and it's just a minuscule return, then that would have angered people as well. So anyway, what they ended up doing to me was brilliant. And I've heard executives around the game from other teams, including Scott Harris and including Billy Beane from the A's, talk about how they thought Farhan Zaidi did a tremendous job walking the tightrope at the 2019 trading deadline. Because they did make a bunch of trades. They did bring in young talent, but they didn't trade guys who they thought would be essential to trying to keep winning. So they didn't really sacrifice much for 2019 for trying to make a run in August and September, but they still brought in plenty of young talent for the future, including Mauricio Dubon for Drew Pomeranz and Ray Black. Just another unbelievable trade. You know, Pomeranz ended up being dynamite for the Brewers as a reliever down the stretch, but again, it was a rental. Pomeranz wasn't really doing much for the Giants. He became a free agent after the season. He was like Will Smith light, you know, Will Smith without the dominance at that point for the Giants. So, I mean, that's a trade-off worth making. 2 months of Drew Pomeranz, who Giants fans wanted DFA'd in like May, for Mauricio Dubon. And I know Ray Black was also in the deal, but he wasn't really a part of that, the Giants bullpen picture anyway. So just another incredible trade. And then getting the Braves to take on all of Mark Melancon's contract, which was like a year and a half left, upwards of $15 million, $14 million in 2020 alone. They took the whole thing and gave the Giants a prospect who performed really well for them down the stretch and they're really excited about in Tristan Beck. They also got a haul for Sam Dyson, who ended up getting injured like right after the trade and is involved in domestic violence allegations. So, you know, Giants are fortunate to get rid of Dyson at that point in time. And they acquired Scooter Jeanette, who I think was an upside play over Joe Panik, who just has a very low ceiling. And Jeanette had a much higher ceiling, and so it was a risk worth taking. It didn't work out with Jeanette, but they just gave up nothing but cash, so there was no risk, and it provided the opportunity, potential for upside over Joe Panik. And then when that didn't work out, they simply called up Mauricio Dubon and had him play second base. So it was like they had a contingency plan there. So just a number of savvy deals, in my opinion. And then let's also not forget that they made qualifying offers to Madison Bumgarner and Will Smith. So then when those players signed with other teams in the offseason, the Giants are going to get draft pick compensation. I forget exactly where, but certainly in the top 50 or so picks, the Giants are going to get two draft picks in that spot, one for Smith and one for Bumgarner. And you could probably make a case that the prospects being offered to the Giants, especially in Bumgarner's case, were probably worse than the players they might be able to draft with those compensation picks. So that was all part of the thinking, and I think they just had a tremendous and active deadline. I just really enjoyed that they were super active. They were one of the most active teams out there. And I think they improved long-term and didn't really get worse in the short-term. So that's hard to do, and that's what they did. So then finally, the last kind of really great storyline from 2019 was Mike Yastrzemski. And we're going to have to keep this relatively short. But as I said, the Giants made that minor trade with the Orioles. It didn't receive a lot of attention except for the fact that the name Yastrzemski was involved. And we were like, oh, I didn't even know Carl Yastrzemski's grandson played baseball, but here he is. The Giants have acquired him. So as I said, they experimented with several different outfielders throughout the course of the season, and a couple of them really did stick. I just want to also mention another player who performed very well for the Giants in 2019 out of nowhere was Donovan Solano. But Yastrzemski was kind of struggling in July right around the All-Star break, had shown some promise, but was in a slump. They were about to send him down, but someone got hurt and they needed him to stay. And then he went on an absolute tear for the rest of the season and ended up being, for me, the best storyline of the year and the perfect moment. And we'll probably cover this again later in the week. The best moment of the season, in my opinion, was Mike Yastrzemski hitting his 20th home run of the year, a feat that the Giants don't take lightly. I mean, Giants players have had a hard time hitting 20 home runs. They had three players do it in 2019, including two Farhan Zaidi acquisitions in Yastrzemski and Pillar. But Yastrzemski hitting his 20th home run of the year in Fenway Park in the first game of that series, where his grandfather had his entire Hall of Fame career, in September, in a series in which Bochy won his 2000th game as a manager. It was just kind of a magical moment for Yastrzemski, and the thing is, the performance from him looks legitimate. I mean, he played well, and yes, he has to prove himself. You know, you don't necessarily expect rookie 28-year-old rookie breakouts to just necessarily have another strong season. But, you know, we've seen it before from Farhan Zaidi acquisitions when he was with the Dodgers, in Max Muncy and other players, Chris Taylor, several players, they've done this. And Yastrzemski looked to be, you know, he looks like a major league player. And that was a tremendous storyline. The Giants did not turn out players like this in 17 and 18. That just wasn't in the cards. And they did it with kind of multiple guys in 2019. Alex Dickerson didn't come out of nowhere. He had some track record, but he wasn't on the radar of a lot of fans. And he certainly had injury risk. And when he was out there with the Giants, he really performed. And so the future is looking much brighter. Some of those trades, plus the draft in 2019, plus the trade in the offseason, the Will Wilson incredible trade at the winter meetings, the Giants suddenly have a really strong farm system. And so it's definitely trending up. The farm system is getting better. They're going to have another big draft here in whenever the draft is. So they've kind of, in just about a year and a half now, I guess, they've kind of transformed the outlook of this team dramatically. And so that's why 2019 was a good year for the Giants. And I was really looking forward to 2020 and still will be whenever we get underway. So anyway, we'll continue this theme of talking about 2020 and key storylines. I want to talk about specific games and other fun twists and turns as well throughout the week. So to get this show on Thursday and Friday and 3 days a week thereafter, you need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. That wraps up this edition of Locked On Giants. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On MLB. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.